There are some cultural things going on right now that we believe as a church and as a leadership would require us to kind of slow down, throttle down, and invite God into, even in a corporate worship setting this morning. The most, I would say, pressing one that's literally going on around us just a few miles from here would be these fires in Napa and Sonoma counties up in the Santa Rosa area as well. And many of you have already brought things in, and that's definitely something going on in the life of our church. That's something that leads us to feeling maybe a heightened sense of being, whoa, like almost overwhelmed. So next week, we begin a two-week series called Overwhelmed. We're going to open up God's Word and invite Him to speak into our lives about feelings like worry and busyness and things from inside and from outside that lead us to feeling overwhelmed. And just to call attention to some obvious ones, that fire going on right now is just the biggest example of what right now has many of us feeling overwhelmed. I mean, just in the last few weeks, we've talked about it here, but let's talk about it now in the midst of our church. We've got Hurricane Harvey, Irma, Puerto Rico, Mexico, the Las Vegas tragedy, that was 2 weeks ago. I don't know about you guys, my wife, Bridget, and I woke up Monday morning and checked our phones because they were kind of buzzing. We just started to read about what had happened the night before in Las Vegas. We were just laying in our bed weeping for all these people. I mean, there's a brokenness and a pain and a sense of tragedy and suffering all around us right now that everybody feels at some level. Say amen if you can relate to that. I spoke to a high school teacher this last week, and she said, "Hey, would you pray for our students?" I said, "Well, yeah, I'd be glad to pray for students. I often pray for your students." She goes, "But now, more than ever," she said, "I've never seen this type of despondency among our students." Our high schools are kind of going, what's next? What's going to happen next? So there's a little bit of worry. There's a little bit of like, man, what is happening in our world? And the answer is, we're a broken people who live in a broken world. And we're sensing that now more than ever. I think the upside of brokenness, or even acknowledging or admitting it, is when something is broken, it gives light a chance to shine into it. Does that make sense? When something is cracked or shattered, light can shine into it. And we have a light that we like to talk about, we like to sing about, we like to preach about, we like to share about. And that light would be the light of Jesus Christ. This is one of those services where, yeah, it is different, and so if you're relatively new, this isn't how we normally do service, but the world, what's going on around us is different. We're in a unique cultural moment that would seem insensitive or a little tone-deaf to charge through and do like business as usual, and so we sat around as a team planning this service. We thought, we kind of need to give God room to meet us in multiple places, even in a corporate worship setting. The scripture says in Romans chapter 12, to weep with those who weep, to mourn with those who mourn, to rejoice with those who rejoice. And what if God wanted us to have an opportunity to do that, all of that, even in one service, in an hour together? Because we acknowledge there's some weeping going around. Do you know that the latest statistics, like as of this morning, of the fires going on in Napa are 5,700 homes and structures destroyed, 38 people dead, over 500 people missing, over 100,000 people displaced. And the number is growing. And the fires are like 10% contained. One, which to this point has been the second, second deadliest fire in the history of our state, that would be the Tubbs Fire, is 44% contained. So these are dire circumstances, and yet this is one of those where we opened up scripture this week and we said, Lord, this is one of those where we kind of need you to lead us and guide us to a place where we can read and hear from your word for all the people and what we're dealing with right now. And he was really faithful in that. That's I love how faithful God is. If you're new either to church or to the Bible, we teach from God's word every week because it's timeless truth for our lives. It's written thousands of years ago, but one of the reasons I love it and love to teach is it still speaks right into our lives on a daily basis. So for instance, the main verse that God brought us to this week is Hebrews chapter 6 at verse 19. Hebrews 6:19 says this, "We have this hope, Jesus, as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure." Isn't that something? In a time where we feel kind of rudderless and going, oh my gosh, what's next? This is crazy. We have this hope that is an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. And with that in mind, I went to the Psalms and God was so cool. He's like, hey, look at these Psalms right next to each other. Psalm 73, Psalm 74, Psalm 75. Look at the reality of what psalmists, the people who wrote the Psalms thousands of years ago, they're dealing with similar things that we deal with, which is up and down, emotion, destruction, pain, tragedy, calling out to God, going, where are you? What's going on? Can you come here and do something? Are you just going to let all this stuff happen? Sound familiar? And yet we have this hope as an anchor for our soul. Psalm 73, verse 26 says this, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The next psalm, Psalm 74, begins with Asaph crying out to God, going, hello, are you going to do something? Look at all this destruction. See if this sounds familiar or if you've thought something like this recently. Oh God, why have you rejected us forever? Why does your anger smolder against the sheep of your pasture? Remember the nation you purchased long ago, the people whom you redeemed. Turn your steps toward these everlasting ruins. All this destruction the enemy has brought on the sanctuary. This is when the sanctuary burned to the ground, like many homes and structures have burned recently. Your foes roared in the place where you met us. They burned your sanctuary to the ground, verse 7. They defiled the dwelling place of your name. They said in their hearts, we'll crush them completely. And they burned every place where God was worshipped in the land. And then he looks at God, he says, why do you hold back your hand, your strong right hand? God, hello, do something here. The right hand of God was a symbol of power. The strong right arm, the strong right hand of the Lord. Why do you hold back your right hand? What's going on? But the very next verse, he reminds himself, it's like he pivots and he reminds us, but this is what we believe about our God. Verse 12, but God is my king from long ago. He brings salvation on the earth. It was you, God, who split open the sea by your power, you who broke the heads of the monster in the seas. It was you who crushed the heads of Leviathan and gave it as food to the creatures of the desert. You opened up springs and streams. You dried up ever-flowing rivers. The day is yours and also the night. I love this one. You established the sun and the moon. That thing that we're struggling to see through layers of smoke and on the screens and looking up toward Napa, or those of us who have loved ones. You know, my dad, my stepmom, they live in Napa. They couldn't handle the smoke. They were in our back house, at our house this week with their dog. And we got to get out of there. And their home is still standing, but we can't even see the sun. We can't even see the moon. It says here, you established the sun and the moon. That's how strong God is. Sun, you can come up right here. Moon, then when he goes down, you can come up over here. It was you who set all the boundaries of the earth. You who made both summer and winter. And so he says this in verse 22, so rise up, O God, and defend your cause. Intervene. The very next Psalm, 75, says this, verse 1, we praise you, God. We praise you for your name is near. People tell of your wonderful deeds. Even though all this is happening, you're still doing good and wonderful things. And we're going to talk about some of those. What happened last week with Serve Day later in the service. You say, and then he quotes God here. God says, I choose the appointed time. It is I who judge with equity. When the earth and all its people quake, it is I, God says, who hold its pillars firm. Now we're back to where we started. We have this hope as an anchor for our souls, firm and secure. That's our God. And yet we're in a place of pain and suffering. And so we want to invite God's Spirit. We want to pray into this and over. There's so many people involved from families in our church. You know the story you probably read or heard or saw in the news of the couple who was a 100-year-old husband and a 98-year-old wife who passed away, and their caregiver barely made it out, running out through flames, her whole body and hair, all the hair on her body burned off. Those parents were the parents of Susie Harris, who's a longtime member of our church. She was here last night. She raised her hand. We prayed for her. Dick and Susie Harris. And many of you have loved ones who are in some dealing with some tough things. So we want to pray corporately. We want to pause in our services and just pray. And so I want to invite Pastor Kathy. She's going to come up, and she's going to lead us all in just a few moments of prayer. We're going to give space for God and space for you to offer your own prayers for what's going on in our midst. And then we'll turn the page and begin to tell of the still wonderful deeds that God is doing in our midst, because he's still near. So Kathy, would you lead us?
It's such a privilege to get to come to the Lord in prayer and lift up all of our hearts together as we trust that God is our hope, that sure anchor for us, and we need an anchor right now. My mom, who lives in Napa, we had to evacuate her just as we did from the Oakland firestorms. And I'm grateful this morning that her home is okay. She's just heading back there this morning. The fire came within just 5 homes. But we know lots and lots of family members and friends who have lost everything. Dear friends who are in Santa Rosa who just moved there last year, and it's just ashes, everything they had. And there are so many like that. And so I want to lead us just in a time of prayer and help you to imagine what it would be like to go back to your house today, as many are, and just look for things in the ashes. And we want to pray for those families especially that have been impacted, and then to pray for so many of the first responders and people who have been saving lives and working around the clock 24/7 and continue to until those fires are finally contained. So let's join our hearts in prayer this morning. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we do give you thanks this morning, God, that you are at work and that your Holy Spirit is present with us. And God, this morning we lift up all of those families, some right here in our midst this morning, that are experiencing loss. The loss of life, especially the loss of family members like Dick and Susie Harris, and Lord, Susie's mom and dad who are now with you. God, we pray for them and others that have lost family members, for those that are still missing. Our hearts go out to them this morning. God, we pray for your comfort and for your hope, especially in their lives. We pray for those families that we have on our hearts this morning that are heading back to their property, some whose homes have been saved and others lost. And God, we just lift them up to you right now. God, you are the God of compassion and of love, and I just pray that even out of this tragedy, you would continue to restore hope, bring restoration, and Lord, that we can trust your word tells us that in all things you work for good. And so I pray that that might be true, that you would join communities together and neighbor helping neighbor, as we've already seen. And God, I pray especially for the church. Let the church rise up, even in the midst of this tragedy. And God, help us to be your hands and feet as we go out and serve. I don't think it's any accident last week that it was our serve weekend. And that very night, Sunday evening, all these fires began, Lord. And now you give us that opportunity to go out and to continue to meet needs wherever we see that. Lord, that we might continue to be people who share your gospel in action, Lord, by what we do. And I pray that there would be many, many good deeds that would release such good works and share your good news throughout Napa, throughout Santa Rosa and Sonoma, and so many other places that are in need of your grace. God, we lift up all of the first responders and firefighters, police officers, rescue workers, those in the hospitals. Lord, we ask that you would be at work in them and through them right now. Lord, you know so many firefighters have been separated from their own families, and some of them have lost their homes. And so we pray, Lord, that you would be at work in them and through them. Give them an extra measure of your strength, of your endurance and perseverance. Lord, that you would wrap your arms around them of protection, and God, that you would help them as they continue to fight these fires, that they would be fully contained soon. And we pray for that, Lord. And God, we lift up all of the other places in our country and throughout the world that are in need of your peace right now and your comfort and your strength and your anchor of hope. Lord, for families that lost loved ones in Las Vegas. God, for all of the other places that are in need of your healing, in need of your rebuilding. We pray for friends and family and brothers and sisters in Puerto Rico, in Mexico, in Texas, in Florida, all the places that have been impacted, Lord, we ask that you would continue to be at work in a mighty way. Lord, let your name continue to be praised. You are the God in whom we can trust. None of this surprises you. Lord, we know you're at work with your mighty hand, and we pray that you would help us to be people that simply go out and to do your good work. Thank you, God, that even when it feels like the sky is falling around us, God, you're the one who holds the sky. Let us never forget that. And so we place our trust and our faith in you again today and forevermore. And all of God's people said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kathy. Psalm 75, verse 2. Everything's burning. God seems far away, but Psalm 75, verse 2 says, we will praise you, God, for your name is near, and people tell of your wonderful deeds. Even with this fire relief this week, I have the great privilege to tell you of how you, the church, are being the church and meeting some of the great needs of people. Do you know that you brought thousands of dollars in gift cards and probably tens of thousands of dollars in items? We've already made 4 trips with trucks and huge trailers up to the Napa-Sonoma County. We're partnering with Cornerstone Church here in Danville and bringing things up to a warehouse there. You've already done much, and you probably noticed the gift card walls when you walked in here. Here's some pictures of just all that God has done this week, and we'll continue to receive these donations. By the way, the goods that you're bringing, our first responders, you can even look at their websites, Santa Rosa Fire Department, the Napa Sheriff Department, and Santa Rosa Sheriff Department. No more goods, please. Literally, they've run out of places to share them, especially perishable foods. The only thing they're asking for now are gift cards. It's the only thing they're asking for now. So we'll continue to receive those throughout the week. Our church is responding. This is a picture of an evacuation center, and it's very, very exciting to see how our church has walked into that. And I think that you're serve antennas are up because of what God did in and through us last weekend at Serve Day weekend. Amen? Do you remember that? Do you feel like that's something to be celebrated? So yeah, I think so too. Do you know that just a few, and we won't talk about everything that happened at Serve Day, but we are going to highlight a few things. Like, for instance, the groups that we sent to Kids Against Hunger, do you know they packed 84,672 meals and shipped them overseas to Puerto Rico? Pretty cool. At the walk for the Down Syndrome Connection, there were over 300 people there, and almost everybody had these Love Does Serve Day t-shirts, and there was a buzz around that. Like, there were thousands of people. They're like, who are you people? That is awesome. Just to see so many people supporting CPC. 500 plus meals prepped and served at San Francisco City Impact, the City Academy, Shelter Inc., and for the Danville Fire and Police Department. And remember, half of the organizations that we partnered with were faith-based and half were intentionally secular. There are great nonprofits doing good and godly. They're not Christian organizations, but they're doing good and godly work in and for our community. So it was so cool to come alongside them and say, we want to give you people and some money to bless what you're doing because we love how you're serving our community. We want to serve with you. 12,000 plus square feet of landscaping and gardening done in Richmond, Del Amigo High School and Monument Crisis Center. How many of you, by a show of hands, are saying, I have a blister to show that I was a part of that gardening? Who would say that? Thank you. I see you guys back there. Closets, shelves, and pantries organized at Monument Crisis Center, Shepherd's Gate, Shelter Inc., and Restore Ministry. And then many rooms and outdoor structures painted through City Team, the Pittsburgh Group Home, Shepherd's Gate, and then Community Presbyterian Preschool. I did a round with my own family, tried to visit as many sites as I could. We got to about a half a dozen. And by the way, my kids were hilarious because we said, when you find one that you want to stay at, you can stay there, and we'll figure out a way to either get you back, probably. And and so we got to the walk for Down syndrome, and they're like, we want to stay here. I'm like, no, get in the car. We're going to the next thing. They go, Dad, everybody is serving, and all we're doing is going and encouraging people who are serving. We want to actually serve. Can we stay here? I was like, you're right. You should stay. And for those of you who are at your spot, and if you didn't get to be a part of Serve Day or Serve Day Weekend, we're going to continue serving. We're going to wrap up our service with next steps. Here are things that you can still do. Here are things that we want you to do. Here are things that we think you want to do. Moving away from Serve Day, but there were camera crews and people cultivating both stories visually and vocally for what God was doing. And we were able to put together a highlight video of all that God did, or much of what God did at Serve Day. And so before we tee up the sharing where we continue to tell the wonderful deeds that God did, take a look at this video. You're going to like it. So, isn't it so great to know that you don't come to church, but that you are the church? Doesn't that feel so good to be the church? I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud to be a part of this church. And so many of you have written or called or texted to share those same sentiments. Just so proud to be a part of our church and what God is doing. You know, you made the paper. You realize that? You made the paper twice, actually. The two local papers wrote about you and how incredible it is that you're doing. And there's another one coming up. Alive Magazine, which is a Valley magazine, is writing a nice feature about you. So very, very proud of what God is doing in and through you. Now, we're going to pause and give you a chance to share about how Serve Day affected you. And we're going to prompt sharing. I'm going to invite Kathy and Deanna, who is our director of missions, to come. And we're going to have roving microphones, okay? And here's the prompt that you have to share. You can just stand up and say, we'll make it very simple for you, no pressure. Just say your name and your Serve Day project. Your favorite memory from Serve Day was blank. And then somehow or some way that you saw God or see God working through, and you can share that. And before Deanna goes, because I know she has our first person teed up to share, Deanna over here to my right and to your left, she's our director of missions. She gets a special round of applause because she is the wizard behind all of Serve Day. Deanna and her amazing team, and if you are on that team, you're amazing too, they started meeting to plan Serve Day, these 25 projects for 2,000 people in January to prepare for that. And so Deanna, great job. And you have our first person to share a testimony about how great Serve Day was for him.
I do. Thank you, Tyler. I have my friend Wes Stoddard to share with us.
Well, we deacons were honored to be asked to lead the whole charge right here on campus. And as a consequence, we had every age involved, and it was absolutely fabulous. We filled the multi-purpose room, and so my favorite memory of that is to see every age writing cards, filling bags, packing for 300 packages for the homeless. We did new baby gifts for Shepherd's Gate. We helped pack for our missionaries. It was just a sensational day, and it was over way too quick.
Did you want to share?
Hi, my name is Carrie Hanna, and our Serve Day project was cleaning up the Iron Horse Trail. And my favorite memory from that Serve Day was how everyone on our team, there was probably about 40 of us, and we just came together, we united, we were joyful, there was no complaining, even though it was hard work. It was shoveling, it was raking, it was bagging, throwing the bags up on the truck. But what was really astounding to me was that the park ranger told us after we had completed that what you all did in this couple of hours would have taken us a week to do. And that really put it into perspective for me.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
That what we did would have taken them a week. And it was just wonderful seeing how God worked through us. Of all ages, there were kids, young people, older people, and everybody was united and everybody was joyfully working to serve God.
Amen.
It was great.
That was awesome. <Get it. clears throat> So if anybody wants to right here. By the way, the Iron Horse Trail Project, they weighed the bags. You guys bagged 5,000 pounds of leaves, literally 5,000 pounds. They said 2.5 tons. I'm like, that's crazy.
Good morning, my name is Yolanda Davis. Our family did the Step Up for Down Syndrome walk, and it was pretty awesome. My favorite memory from that day was seeing all the kids there, how they felt so special, and as we were doing the walk, there was a boy in front of us, his dad had him on his shoulders, and the cheerleaders were lining the track, and every cheerleader high-fived that kid.
Uh-huh.
And he just felt so special.
Right.
And then at the end, when they were introducing the kids, as we finished the walk, they all had their signs, and everybody was cheering them, and just how everybody just shared love and made those kids feel so special.
Right, that was fantastic.
Awesome.
Thanks. Anybody else? Just raise your hand if you want to share. Okay, go ahead. You want to get there, Kath? An update on the Down Syndrome Walk, by the way. is the 300 CPCers who were there also raised $13,000 for the Down Syndrome Connection, which was pretty cool too.
Hello, my name is Melissa Casamant. This is actually my second weekend here. My first weekend was actually Serve Day. I got to work on the City Impact Project here, helping fill bags for the homeless with toiletries and just basic items of need and bandages, and just seeing how everyone just from their heart gave every bit of their day, every bit of their, like, as soon as we were finished, like, what, that's it, we're done, that can't be it. And just that every single person that was here cared and was a community and family, and it just, it's made this my home, and this is my church, and you're my neighbors, so thank you for making me so welcome.
So, you want to know how I met Missy? She works at a doctor's office, like, a skin doctor, and she walks in, and I had gone in there to get, like, checked, so I'm sitting there, and it's kind of a weird thing, because you're sitting there with your shirt off, and they, like, walk in, and they start, she comes in, and I'm so you're, like, exposed, and so she comes in and starts doing all these checks, so I figure you might as well just go for it. I'm like, hey, I'm a pastor, you should come to church at CPC. And then you showed up last week on the steps, and you walked in, and you're like, do you remember? I'm like, I absolutely remember you. I said, I don't remember your name. Remind me of your name, because this was a few months ago. And she goes, and this is a great reminder for us too, of like, we got this brand new building, got this brand new lobby, and it's really cool, and got a family room, and people are watching right now from the family room. And God's done some great things around here. But the real lobby in our church is our website. 97% of people who come to our church have visited our website. 97%. So that's the real lobby. And so Missy says last week, by the way, I started watching your messages for the Love Does series, and I watched all the way through, and so you invited me to come and see, so I'm here to come and see. And her first day was Serve Day. Outstanding. I'm so glad you're here. Oh, awesome. Someone right here?
So my name's Brian.
Brian, face that way, if you can. Thanks.
Okay.
This is better that way.
So my name's Brian. I'm representing the Shaughnessy family, and we did Kids Against Hunger on Saturday. So my favorite memory, I would say, would probably be like coming home from Kids Against Hunger, right?
Right.
And I'm just thinking in the car, like, we fed over 14,000 kids in Puerto Rico alone.
Yes.
On that day, and people on social media are just complaining about, like, they got the wrong color iPhone for Christmas. I mean, it's kind of pointless if you think about it. And that was also like how God worked not just through me, not just through my family, but through CPC on that day. And I think I'll carry that until I die.
That's awesome.
I'll just say that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just raise your hand and we'll get to you quick.
I got one right here, Tyler.
Okay.
Katrina?
I hope I can get through this without crying. I'm Katrina, and we pack bags for Revive Renew sex traffic victims, hygiene bags for them and whatnot. And I have too many favorite memories. The first was, as Wes said, the intergenerational was amazing, just to see families and older people and middle-aged people, everybody working together, and just the attitudes everybody had. It's just so, such servant hearts. And then the next thing was just how quickly things got done. Okay, we're done. And then to have these people who I'd never met before, and that was another memory I have, and I think anytime we serve together is when we actually get to know the people who go to our church. It's not coming to service. It's when we get side by side and serve together. I thought they knew each other for years, and they're saying, no, we just met today. And all of the people that came and worked in our area, I had never met before except one. It was just amazing. I feel like they're best friends now. They literally packed up my car. They say, give me your keys. They put all these boxes in my car with these bags. There was still more to pack, so they put them in another car. This woman I'd never met before, she comes up to my house with me and a young family, and I don't know if they're here right now, but just amazing. They get out. I mean, they're a young family. I kept saying, you guys have things to do. It's a Sunday afternoon. No, no, we want to help. And this husband was so sweet. He unpacked all the bags and put them in my garage. I was so overwhelmed. But it doesn't stop there. Sorry. I don't want to go. It goes to what Kathy said. It bled over into the following week to when the disaster started happening up in Napa and Sonoma. I turned on the TV one morning on Tuesday, I think, and I thought, I want to know what's going on up there. And I heard the Holy Spirit whisper in my ear, you've got all these bags sitting in your garage. You know what? They can go help people right now. So I quickly called the deacon that was in charge of our project and said, I don't want to be disingenuous to the people who pack bags for sex traffic victims. What do you think? Such a God thing. It was not serendipitous. It was a God thing that she said, I just came from a meeting with somebody else that wants to know how they can get things like that up there. Yes, go for it. So we gave half the bags away, and it ended up being into a woman's hand who took them up from the community. I think that's how we reach people, is they see that we care. And I just, the whole thing has just been such a God thing that, sorry, I had to share, because
that's awesome.
I've been crying and laughing and just giddy, all those things in one.
Thank you. Great.
Hi, my name is Dana Van Egdom, and my kids and I, we made cards that went into the bags for homeless people here on campus. And it was so simple, but very awesome, because I got to see my kids like write down their favorite Bible verses on a piece of paper. My son was like, hey, Mommy, where's that Bible verse that says, I am not ashamed of the gospel? And he wrote that down. And I took pictures, I think, of every card that they made. And I didn't know how long we would be able to be there, because I was like, after one card, they're going to get bored and not want to do this. My kids are 7 and 5. And they sat there for like an hour and a half and made cards for the homeless and got totally into it. And it was just such an encouragement to me to see them love to serve in a simple way. And when they got in the car, they were like, that was the best day ever, the best day of church. So thanks for doing Serve Day.
Amen. These stories are going to stop now for this morning. They don't have to stop being shared, though. So if you'd like to share your story, you can email info@cpcdanville.org, and we'll find a way to share your story publicly. We'd love to hear stories, Serve Day stories or personal stories of what God's doing. What we're going to do now is, for the last few minutes of our service, we're going to do what that psalmist did, Asaph in Psalm 74. And that is, we're going to draw a line in the sand and say, yes, there are some difficult things going on right now, but we choose to praise God because his name is near, and we choose to tell of the wonderful things that he's doing. And so we're going to worship a little bit more, we're going to receive an offering, and we're going to sing a couple of songs, and then we'll be on our way. And so would you just join me in a word of prayer as we prepare to receive our tithes and our offerings. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we acknowledge that you are an amazing God who's done many things. And yet, when the waters seem to rise, and when the winds come up, and when the fires spread, and when things are going on, we can feel a little bit rudderless. And thank you for the reminder that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus, you, and your righteousness, your blood, your righteousness. We thank you that in you, Jesus, we do have a hope that is an anchor for our soul that is firm and secure. And so, Lord, we remember that. We praise you for that. We thank you for that. And we rejoice in that this morning. And we're going to sing, and we're just going to remind you this morning, Jesus, how good you are. We're going to lift our voices to make much of your name. It's a good thing to magnify the name of the Lord. We ask you, Jesus, that you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would bless this offering as we receive it. God, you know that we're tens of thousands of dollars behind because of taking a week off for Serve Day. You know that, but and yet you are faithful. You stir the heart. So I pray that you would joyfully and generously and cheerfully stir hearts and remind us that when you call us to give, you're just calling us to do what you did. Save people, serve people. We love because you first loved us. People touched by the gospel, we give. Love gives. And so, Lord, that's what we're trying to do. Help us multiply these monies, multiply our efforts to serve and to bless people. God, continue to bring your gospel into us and through us as we try to reach people and follow you, Jesus. We pray this in your precious name, and all God's people said, amen.